doing some songwriting now, and the question is about adding a bridge. It just so happens that the song we have in question, which is great, the student has written A, B, A, B, A, B, meaning first chorus, three times. And I told him that after the second chorus, so A, B, A, B, I want to hear something new as the listener, rather than just go around one more time. So the best way to do that is, you could do that by just doing an instrumental on one of the sections, but even better would be to create a bridge. So what is a bridge and how does it function? So, like, sort of philosophically, like lyrically, the bridge is more of a, in my opinion, more like a macroscopic view of the song. There's a different perspective, actually maybe not even macroscopic, just some kind of different perspective on the situation. The verses, you're like in pain. The choruses, you're refraining that pain. If the song is about you're struggling, if the song is about joy, then so be it, same thing. Or anywhere in between. But whatever the song is, the bridge gives like a maybe a broader perspective, or perhaps even if it's a painful song, maybe it gives a ray of hope. Or if it's a happy song, maybe it gives a, I don't know, just sort of like a more universal. So lyrically, it's a different perspective. So you might back out of your song as if somebody else was singing this song to you, or a friend was telling you these lyrics. And then you might think about, well, how would I respond to this friend if I'm out for dinner with him or her or something, and he or she is telling me all about this? What would I try and say to help that person, or maybe just, you know, something to add a perspective that could go somewhere else, that more universal truth? So that's my philosophical take on a bridge. I mean, I'm just one songwriter. That I'm sure if you Googled bridges, it would be interesting to see whether, you know, I'm certainly not claiming to possess like the definition, but it's a definition. And let me know, you know, what other people say, so I don't have to do the work myself. No, I'm just kidding. spend hours on YouTube looking at bridges. But that's how a bridge, in my opinion, functions. And musically, it goes somewhere else. Like, you know, we happen to be in the key of E. Do you mind if I play? No one knows who you are or what this song is, but we happen to be in the key of E, and it's very strongly in the key of E. You know, musically, it could be like a relative minor is one easy. These are just sort of cliches. You know, you could, the relative minor of E is C sharp. So suppose you. You know, you make up some progression that's centered around the relative minor. That's an easy one. Or, you know, if your progression is always starting on E, then you save E for last. Like, suppose I make a bridge that goes, I don't know, I go to the four chord in the A. That was 4-3-2-5. Now I'm just making it up, of course. There are many, many possibilities. Should build a bit of tension, or right. some moment, and not just tension, maybe not just tension, but certainly momentum,
right,
to get you back to, you want to hear that last chorus, you know.
Yeah.
So musically, I just held you off. I didn't play any one chords. I held you off. I was gonna, but then I was like, oh no, wait, I should wait, and I milked that five chord to get you right back. And I was craving, you were, to hear that final chorus. So that's another thing. It should go somewhere else. Add a bit of extra perspective, you know, maybe it's a perspective that gets fueled for another song, you know. It's like, you know, and then musically it should take you somewhere else, but then also strongly bring you back. A bridge can also function as something to change the key, you know. If your song is very heavy on, like, one common technique in pop music is they change the key of the final chorus. It goes up usually. You know, so suppose you're in E, and then you create a bridge that, and instead of E, we're in F sharp. Now, I don't know what I just did. You could listen to it back and right. and steal it and just take me out for dinner when the song becomes $1 million. Or, you know, but I just did something musically to bring you to a different key. That's another strategy. The bridge should be short. It shouldn't be more than, you know, 8 bars typically. Although I also find in bridges that the section lengths can be a little bit unusual. They could be 6 bars or 10 bars or something, and it doesn't seem to really notice. Like, it's a little more stream of consciousness. So I don't want you to think about, oh, you know, I really want to add these extra 2 bars. Like, go for it. So the best bridges are sort of asymmetrical. Right. But they shouldn't be, like, gross much longer than, let's say, 10 or 12 bars. Because then, right. then you're going on, it's like creating a whole new song. So does that help you?
Yes.
All right, cool. So the second bit is... The song just happens to be the same chords in the verse as in the chorus. So that's cool, that's fine. So we're talking about, it gives us an opportunity to talk about stylistically what to do differently. One idea is, and these are all just ideas, you know, you have to experiment with each one of them to see if it really fits your song, but halftime is, so your chorus is like, and that's a 1, 2. Like 1, 2, 3, 4. So, well, that's a chorus. So, right. Do your strong.
I'll do the verse.
Do the chorus as strong.
As strong.
And do the verse halftime. Like do the.
I see. It's interesting.
Like, you don't have to give away your song since we're recording, but just hum. Maybe hum them. No, just do the strumming bit without singing. Because you don't want to give away your song. We don't know who's going to listen to this. All right, 3, 4. This is chorus. All right, now go right to the verse. And ask yourself, would that fit? I'll pause the recording here. But that's, there's a way that you can, you don't have to make it. That might be too slow and sleepy, but you can add space. You can double up the hand. So my hand is really, you can't see it obviously listening back, but I'm still going, but I'm just not hitting the strings very often. Try it with me. And A from it, like 3, 4. Good, easy way to do it. I suppose other ways to do it may not be things that you necessarily do stylistically. Like, I don't think you do any finger style, but that, for anyone listening, that could be a way. But that's beyond the scope of this. But let me see what else. The halftime one was cool. Strumming and arpeggiating. You and I have been talking about chord extensions, and you know that this is a nice, you know, so I'm just creating a little counter melody, like the way a pianist would play. They certainly, pianists never, you know, sit there and go ding 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 on the same notes. They constantly move the notes around, and we approximate that. So that's another idea, like during the verses. Write out what I'm doing, but I could. Yeah, I'm just putting down on an E chord. Try it a little bit. This is just a sample. So I'm hearing like the da da, and then I'm doing an A like in a G shape kind of, with the open A string ringing out, and then I hit the C sharp of the second string of the A chord with the A chord under it. And then with the third finger I'm playing the B note, which is on string 3, fret 2, fret 4, and then the A on the third string, second fret. So I'm going like, you know, so I have a little motif under my melody. Oh, sorry. That's a cool way of contrasting that with the chorus, because the chorus doesn't need that stuff since it's so strong and compelling as it is. Very cool. Those are some easy ways to get started with that.